In 1519, Hernan Cortes made a decision that would echo through history. Upon landing on the shores of the New World, he faced impossible odds. Outnumbered and surrounded by uncertainty, he gave an audacious order: burn the ships. With no way to retreat, his men had one choice: fight to succeed or die trying. And they did succeed. Cortes' story isn't just about conquest, it's about commitment. It's about making bold decisions, eliminating excuses, and going all in on your vision. Welcome to Burning the Ships, the podcast where we explore what it means to take risks, push boundaries, and refuse to look back. I'm Jason Seward, your host. In each episode, we'll share stories, strategies, and insights to help you tackle your challenges head on, overcome obstacles, and make your own history. This is Burning the Ships. Let's get started. Welcome to Burning the Ships Weekly Ramble. Today, I'm going to do a little bit of a fun episode. It'll be a little shorter and not necessarily, it kind of ties to a mindset nugget, but I'm going to start sprinkling in some of these weekly rambles and talk about early business ideas I had all the way back to my, when I was a teenager. And talk about some jobs I had as well. Y'all have heard me talk about, if you followed along, if you haven't, I'll summarize it real quick. But the idea, hold on, let me pause there. One thing that we are going to start doing before every episode that I promised my son I would do, and I've got to get in the habit of remembering to do this, is to tell jokes that he gives me to tell on the podcast. So this is JJ's joke of the week. He swears that he makes them up. I don't believe it. I think he has found them somewhere and just regurgitating them. But if he's making them up, they're not bad. Some of them are a little goofy, but here's the one for this week. What do you call a fish wearing a bow tie? Sophisticated. That's JJ's joke of the week. Now, moving on, I am going to start off, and what I was talking about before that, as I get distracted in my head, this idea of most folks don't nail it on their first idea, right? It takes, to get a good idea, you have to have a consistent pool of ideas, and I believe that wholeheartedly, and fortunately for me, I have no shortage of ideas. I have been having ideas in my head since I was remember thinking. I've always, and not just business, but just ideas how to make life better, myself better, my things around me better, make things more efficient, things like that. So I'm constantly brainstorming ideas to a flaw sometimes, but in the millions of ideas I have, every once in a while, a piece of gold comes out. Well, what I'm going to share with you is a couple of those ideas and or things that I have tried in life that didn't necessarily work out, right? So I'm going to go through, every once in a while, I'm going to sprinkle in these episodes where I talk about a particular idea or business thing that I was a part of. So I will start this with, I'll go back to not long after I finished college. Now, this goes back prior to that with some experience, but I live in Southeast Virginia, real close to the James River. That for folks that are familiar with Virginia, if you think of Williamsburg, there's a river that runs south of Williamsburg. I'm in Surrey County, which is south of that river. So the river divides where I'm at in Williamsburg. And I grew up, my whole life I've been on that river fishing, wakeboarding, tubing, all those things. So I'm very, it's that river's a piece of me. So growing up, what my best friend, Jake Mintz, his father, Buzz, he worked a corporate career, but he also had a waterman's license. So he had, as we got a little bit older and became teenagers, he had a commercial fisherman license where he would run crab pots, catch crabs commercially, sell them to different, he had a variety of places he would sell them and make money off that. That was something he did as a supplement. Don't think he, you know, I think he was doing it more so because he enjoyed doing it and being on the water, and that gave him a way to do it and, you know, pay for some things. So, but like I mentioned, he worked full time. So there was a period right when I finished, and we, Jake and I, and my brother also, who was a little bit younger, helped him throughout the years in this business. We would go along, help him pull crab pots, sort crabs, get them in the baskets, all that stuff. It was fun. But right out of college, when I was still trying to figure things out, I didn't know what I wanted to do. But I, for a period of time, for one whole summer, actually, or spring into the fall, so almost a full, well, it was a full crabbing season here. I ran his crab pot license. So what that means is anybody that has a commercial waterman license, they can assign someone to basically run the license or have the license in their name, essentially, for a year or whatever the case may be. So he put me on that license, and I had the authority with that to go out, put out crab pots, fish them every day, catch the crabs, and sell the crabs commercially. So I started doing that. I would get up 5-6 days a week. At that time, you couldn't crab on Sunday. So typically, I was out there 5 or 6 days a week. I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Where I lived at the time was literally, it was a hill that goes down to the marina, and I could hop in the boat and go every morning. And as I started doing it, you know, every day I'm out there most mornings by myself, and I'm fishing. You know, I think we had the most pots we had out there at any, at one time might have been 200. Some might have fished 100 a day, which takes a good chunk of, you know, the day. I was usually in the water by 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m., and coming back around noon. And it was hard work, but I was on the water and I loved it. So as I continued doing it, you know, I'm out there, I come in, I catch crabs, and then it allows me to get creative with where I'm setting my pots and trying to get strategic with that to catch more crabs, bigger crabs, so I can get more money. And to his credit, Buzz allowed me to have full authority with it all. You know, only thing I had to really pay him from that was the expenses of whatever the expenses of the pots were and the maintenance on that and boat expenses and stuff like that, which, you know, wasn't too terribly bad. He was being very generous to me, so he didn't really make me pay for but so much of that stuff. But what I was able to do is I'd go out and let's say I'd go fish, you know, call it 50 pots. I might catch 6 bushels of crabs. And depending on the market and the time of the year and the demand and supply and all that stuff, I might be able to take those crabs and sell them to a local wholesaler, somebody that was doing it at a bigger scale, and then he was moving them to like retail buyers, you know, restaurants and stuff like that. But I might be able to sell him, let's say, 6 bushels of crab. I might be able to get $50 a bushel. And so I'd make $300. And probably after paying for gas and everything like that, I'd put $200 a day in my pocket on average. Well, at that time, it was a lot of money to me, right? I'm making $1,000 or more a week. Some weeks I'd bring in a couple $1,000s when the season was really good. So naturally, the way my brain works is I'm going to make a business of this. I'm going to figure out a way to make this my career. I loved it. I loved being on the water every day. Loved everything about it. But reminder, I was 21 years old. I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. I didn't have much responsibility. So it wasn't a big deal for me to wake up that early and spend my days doing that and, you know, and figure out a way to try to scale that. So as I started doing that, you know, I talk about ideas. I was like, well, okay, I'm selling them to this guy that's selling them to end buyers, right? Well, what if I could figure out a way to be the end buyer, right? I go catch my own supply of crabs and I sell them to the final customer that's going to sit there and eat them. So what I started doing is I'd go out and let's say I'd catch 8 bushels in a day. I might take half of them and sell them to that wholesaler. And then I might take another half, 4 bushels, And I would steam them myself. And about 3 days a week, I'd go set up at different locations, steam the crabs, and sell them by the dozen or half dozen. And where I could maybe make $50 for a bushel selling them wholesale, I could turn that, if I steam them myself and sell them by the dozen, I might be able to make $200 a bushel. So on those days, I was really starting to make some money. And I kind of started getting a reputation. People would know when I would be at certain areas with the crabs selling them. I'd load up and I'd always sell out. I would sell out every time. A lot of times it got to a point where people would pre-order. So I would show up there with people waiting and I'd already sold the crabs. I have no more left to sell. So right at 21, 22 years old, I'm like, okay, this is a business. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to have a fleet of boat, kind of like Bubba Gump and Forrest. And so I did that for a little while. And then as the fall came, reality set in, and now crab season's over. My naive, short-term thinking brain at the time didn't think past that, right? Okay, so now I've done this full-time for, say, 5 or 6 months, made a lot of money during that time. I have no plan beyond that, no plan. So right after that, I did that, and that landed me at Dominion Power pretty much immediately after that one crabbing season I did. And then soon after that, I started my insurance career about a year or so later, and the rest is history. But the point is, that was one idea I had. I learned how to make money. I learned how to think bigger, which I'm always doing anyway. It just didn't go anywhere. And nor, like, I didn't have the resources, the mentorship, the coaching on how to scale a business and take it from where I was to get it any bigger. And I didn't know how to budget, meaning I didn't know how to make a lot of money in a short period of time and make that last until that short period starts up again the following year. But I've got a bunch of these stories to share, and I'm going to be sharing them over the course of several of these weekly rambles, where I talk about other businesses that I was trying to do. One more funny thing, or not too funny, it could have been something, but another big thing in our area is soft shell crabs. So crabs shed their shells, they're soft, and that's a delicacy. You can sell those for quite a bit. I connected, just going online and connecting with restaurants and stuff like that. But I connected with several restaurants out in the western part of the US that were interested in buying soft shell crabs from me. I didn't have soft shells. So I had to, first thing I did was I bought a bunch from a local supplier of soft shells, put them on dry ice, and I sent them across the country, packaged them up professionally, sent them across the country for these restaurants and end buyers to buy. They were going to put them on their menu and sell them in their high-end seafood restaurants. So my networking ability and sales ability got me those meetings and conversations, got me to a point where I was sending them kind of test runs, and two restaurants were very interested moving forward. Well, do you think I had a plan to do anything else with that? Absolutely not. So at, again, 21 years old, what do? I freak out. I'm like, I don't, now they're ready to actually do business and sign a contract with me to supply them with soft shell crabs. And I hadn't thought it through to that point. So had I had good coaching and mentoring and really known how to structure that, I could have made that into something, but I dropped the ball at that point. So just a fun story, fun little attempt at a business I had when I was younger in my career. And I'll have plenty more to share, but that'll wrap up this week's weekly ramble. And I hope you guys enjoy this. Give me some feedback. Let me know if you enjoy little stories like this, because I'll continue to share them, and I've got no shortage of them, nor do my friends, which I'll kind of bring them on possibly to share some of their early entrepreneur attempts at making it in business. So that, talk to you guys next time. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.